West. Ashes to ashes.
Goodbye, Jeff.
Dust to dust.
This is your second death.
Sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life.
At least it was more merciful than your first one.
We meekly beseech thee, O Father, to raise us from
yes,
the
Yes, you can.
It can't.
Long end over short end. See? Down behind, then through the front.
I can't do it right.
Yes, yes. Now try again.
From henceforth, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Even so saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. Was the departed your only brother?
He was. No other relatives at all. Our parents were killed in the war.
I said. But remember this, Mr. We all go out through the same gate. It's the other side that matters.
I wish I could believe that.
You heard the burial service. In sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life.
It's the hope that's sure and certain, not the resurrection. Although I don't want to disparage your faith, believe me. And thank you for officiating.
I hope you'll get rest now. This must have been a trying time. You cared for your brother deeply. I can see that.
I shan't get a rest, but I shall get a change. I'm going to North Wales for the winter. On professional business.
A Winter in the Hills by John Wayne. Dramatized by Chris Stevenson. With David Collings, Ewan Meredith and Anne Carroll.
What the devil are you doing? Hey! Rhiannon! Where are you going? Hey! Come back here! Rhiannon! Rhiannon! Oh, that little bitch. After all my hard work to get up here. Even I had a car just for the occasion. With reclining seats. You're just a bloody tease, that's what you are! Oh. Well, how in the hell do I get back to the hotel? Walk all the way down the bloody mountain, I suppose. Oh. Oh, gender. Oh, what a gift. Oh, what a bloody agony. Truly, Homo sapiens is an oversexed animal. I don't like the look of those clouds. Hey, he's got my bloody raincoat in the car. How much further, for God's sake? Oh, grey stone. Grey slate. Grey soggy sheep. Nothing else for miles. And it's getting dark. Black as pitch it'll be up here. Oh, bloody North Wales.
I'm going to North Wales for the winter on professional business.
Which is?
Language. Science of. I'm a philologist.
Ah. Why Wales in particular?
Lust, in a word. Well, I couldn't tell you that, Mr. Clergyman, could I? Plain and simple lust. A two-pronged scheme to widen my intellectual horizon at the same time as broadening my sexual activities. No, 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 not Wales. Sweden. Well, it's quite simple. I'll explain. I immerse myself in the Welsh language, make some contribution to Celtic philology, and land myself a job in the Celtic Studies Department at Uppsala. Uppsala! You see? Sweden? All those tall, long-legged blondes with perfect teeth. That mouth-watering, available, willing flesh. Rhiannon was meant to be a rehearsal. An undress rehearsal in the steamed-up interior of the car. I got all the moves blocked out, but she didn't like the script. God, what a godforsaken hole. What in the name of hell is this? Derelict bus. I mean, what a place to dump a bus. Wait a minute. Is it derelict? Oh, the windows are intact. Tires inflated. Well, it seems all right. The door's unlocked. Well, at least I can shelter from the rain. Lights, perhaps? Headlights. Side light. Ah! There we are. Interior lights. Well, as cozy as can be. Oh, leather seats. No PVC rubbish here. Well, 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 well. That's a real museum piece. Look at the size of that handbrake. And the workmanship. It's all in perfect condition. Good God. The bus moved. It must have been left in neutral. Now, consider this. The bus is on a mountain road. The road goes straight down all the way to Cardenai. Freewheeling. Well, why not give it a try? If someone's daft enough to leave a bus unlocked and unattended, what can they expect? Off with a handbrake. Steady on the wheel. That's it. Here we go. Here we come down the mountain. Poop, poop. Oh, bliss. Oh, rapture. Oh, poop, poop. Another pint, please.
Very good, sir.
Oh, come on. Hold it, another one. You can't just move
the bus. Who is it? I just dropped off to see if Mum was all right, like I always
do. What's all the excitement?
Local business. Wait there, sir.
Oh, thanks very much. Excuse me. Who's Garrett?
Stranger down here. Garrett runs the local bus.
What, the one that runs up the mountain?
Garrett Bar. Stranger here. Doesn't know who you are.
Oh, yes? I'm Gareth. Who wants to know?
I'm just interested to find out what's going on.
Oh, yes.
What all the excitement is.
Nothing to do with you, mister. Is it? Either it's
next. Well, no, I suppose not.
Local business.
Yes. Yes, so I've been told.
Well, then. Let's steer clear of
that. Gareth! I found it!
Why, ma'am? Where did you find it?
Oh, just on the road, parked on the grass, verge as bold as brass.
Any damage?
No, it looks all right. You'll have to give it a look-see, of course.
So, they've given it back, whoever took it. And I know who took it. And a little joyride, and then gave it back.
Careful, Gareth, my dear.
As God sees me, this time I'll kill him.
Steady, boy.
I want everyone to hear me say it, man. I'll kill him before I let him take the bread out of my mouth.
Gareth, what are you saying?
Dear. So there it is. Naked moral fact. Black recklessness caused by sexual frustration. That's all it was. Just because of that one freak of anarchic action, I have injured poor hunchback Gareth. Make amends. That's it. Make amends.
If you want the 10 o'clock up, mister, you'll have to wait a few minutes.
No.
What then?
Talk.
What?
I want to talk to you.
Hey, shut the door, can't you? There's a cold wind.
Is it all right?
Is what all right?
The coach. The bus.
Why do you want to know? You're asking a lot of questions, mister.
Come on, tell me, is it?
Why?
Well, I feel responsible.
Responsible? Why should you feel that?
Because I moved it.
Say that again.
Yes, I did. Your bus. I moved it. I freewheeled it down the mountain, sir.
How much did he give you?
Oh, no. Don't understand. No, nobody gave me anything.
Don't try to fool me, mister. I may not look it, but I can get real rough. Now, Dick Sharp put you up to this.
No. Who the hell's Dick
look,
Sharp?
Look, I warned you, mister.
Oh.
You keep out of our troubles, and we'll keep out of yours.
Your key, sir?
Thank you, Rhiannon. For nothing.
Thank you, sir. Oh, Mr. Furnival.
What is it?
Your raincoat. You left it behind. And the keys to the car. You don't be paying extra to the hire company.
Rhiannon, you really are... Oh, forget it. Good night. Look, I suppose there's no use my asking why.
Well, I thought it over seriously on the drive up the mountain and decided that as there was nothing in it for either of us, it was best to stop there and then.
Couldn't you have done it some better way? I mean, why leave me up there, for God's sake?
I thought you were a little overexcited. Needed cooling down.
So the rain did that.
Well, good night, sir. And sleep tight.
Jeff!
Get him away! Get him away! There are hospitals that exist to look after people like Jeffrey.
Jeffrey isn't people like Jeffrey. He's Jeffrey and his life is a blood. He's not going into one of those places.
Whether it's him or me.
We don't have to get used to it, Margot, because I have.
I can do it, right? I can.
He's disgusting because he's so pathetic. Why, it's no use to him. Why doesn't he just die?
I can't manage, right? Yes, I can.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you can, Jeff.
He will.
Yes, you can, Jeff. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Good morning.
Oh, hello.
We met briefly in here last night.
Yes, you gave me some good advice, I remember.
Maybe. Always ready with the advice, isn't it? Now, it interests me, you know, why an Englishman should be reading a Welsh-language newspaper.
Not trying to read it, the truth alone. I'm a philologist. I'm here on a university business to learn Welsh.
Oh, how's it going?
Well, I only just started. Dug into the persons and tenses of the verbs. Bord, Kyle, Gnaed, Dord. I think I've absorbed the procedures for mutation soft, mutation nasal, and mutation aspirate or spirant. So, well, there's some ground covered.
Oh, keep up the good work, man. The name's Matt Dog, by the way.
Roger Furnival.
It's only my bar nickname, of course. On my national insurance card, I'm Hual Jones. But in Gwynedd, it's still the privilege of a poet to be known by his bar nickname.
What kind of poems do you write?
Epics.
Oh, is poetry your living?
Not yet. I'm just another of the mass employed, loud out for a pint at lunchtime.
Well, tell me about your epics.
I'm halfway through one now, as a matter of fact. It'll be twice as long as Paradise Lost.
Does it have a title?
Gwilym Cherokee.
Gwilym
Cherokee. You know what happens to the Cherokees, don't you?
Well, no. No, not specifically.
Oh, then I'll tell you. Specifically. Andrew Jackson's Indian Removal Act, 1830, that's what happened. They were a highly civilized, highly organized people, see. But it all made no difference, because the white man wanted their land. They were pushed out from the good lands, theirs, remember, into the wilderness.
And by calling your poem Gwilym Cherokee, you're presumably manipulating a continuous parallel?
Call it that, if you like.
But what is, or was, the precise historical equivalent?
Anglicization.
Ah, yes, well, I get your point. Well, at any rate, you can count me as a Saxon who wants to make some sort of amends by studying the Celtic language.
Ah, like buying a blanket on the reservation?
Now, I resent that. It's unfair, and you know it.
maybe.
Ah, let's forget it, shall we? Will you have another pint?
Some other time, perhaps. I'd best be getting back.
Madoc, before you go, do you know a man called Dick Sharp?
Of course I know him.
What sort of a man is he?
Are you certain you are what you say you are?
Come on.
Sure you're not a journalist or something?
I told you what I am. Well, why should a journalist be interested?
Ivar, it's on. Can you spare a moment?
Hello.
This gentleman wants to know about Dick Sharp.
Oh, fond of questions, are you?
You want to know what sort of man Dick Sharp is? Ivar and Gitzo here are in the scrap metal business. A year ago, they ran a bus service in the next valley. But after a few months of Dick Sharp's treatment, they gave up. And they're not fellows who give up easily.
Mm. What does Dick Sharp get out of it?
I'm coming to that. Dick Sharp's a big wig round here. A businessman. Haulage and building materials, principally. Who thought he'd like to go into buses a couple of years ago. But he didn't get on too well with buses. So now he wants to sell out to General. They run all the main routes.
Ah.
However, General won't buy from him until he's got all the local services.
They want the complete set.
Right. Hand it to them on a plate.
And how close is Dick Sharp to getting the complete set?
Gareth's the only one left.
And he won't sell?
And he won't sell.
Does Gareth run just the one bus?
Just the one.
Why so?
Where do you come from, mister?
London. Why?
If you've got any sense, mister, you'll go straight back to London.
And learn the Welsh from the bloody television.
Poor boy. Perhaps I should go back. Or stick to the Palace Hotel Carvin, eh? Trouble is, that isn't reality anymore. Middle class hotel, pretension and tasteless cooking. And Rhiannon, positively dripping sexual temptation from the reception desk. Gareth and his bus now. And they're real. They hold potentialities. Yes. Even the potentialities of tragedy.
Almost, I think. Difficult to tell in this crush.
Yes. I've never known the hotel bar so crowded.
Sorry.
Sorry?
It's my husband's birthday, so I suppose I'm a bit to blame.
Oh, you mean I'm gate-crashing?
It's a free country. Or hotel bar. And even if you are, it's nice to see a human face.
Well, thanks for that. Which is your husband?
Gerald's over there. By the ornamental rubber plant, chatting to the grinning balloon with a pink bow tie.
And who are you?
I'm Jenny Twyford. My husband teaches economics here. He's also a consultant in London, and that's where he is most of the time.
So it's lots of lovely trips to London then, is it?
Oh, no, not for me. I've got two children to look after. Besides, I don't know anything about economics.
That's a very healthy attitude.
Thank you, kind sir. You're a diminishing breed. Small, but determined.
Are all these people your friends?
Oh, no, not mine. Strictly my husband's.
I see. Can I get you another drink?
When I finish this. I'm drinking sherry and I don't like it, so I have to take my time.
Why drink sherry if you don't like it?
I wasn't consulted.
Really?
Oh, it's the usual state of affairs. However, tell me who you are.
And I'm the author of a well-thought-of paper called The Transformation of Mutation, Variation into Mutation, Allophone, in Scandinavian languages. Especially in relation to final I and E in Old High German.
You're joking.
Not a word of a lie.
Well, it looks as though I'll have to drag myself away from this fascinating dissertation and go and eat.
Seriously, haven't you any of your own friends you could leaven this lot with?
My friends wouldn't be seen dead with Gerald's mob. I tried it on his birthday last year with near-fatal results.
Yeah.
Literally. One of his ghastly literary friends very nearly got himself murdered. He spent hours being heavily patronising to a marvellous Welsh poet called Madog. He thought Madog was very quaint because he writes in Welsh and doesn't subscribe to the New York Review of Books.
Yes, I know Madog.
You do?
Hmm. Well, I'm glad he's a friend of yours. It makes me think I'd like to be a friend of yours, too.
Be one. Be one. There's nothing to it.
Sorry to be a bore and break up your private party, Jenny, but we're about to eat and I presume you'll be joining us.
Yes, I suppose I mustn't let the soup get cold.
We're having grapefruit, not soup.
Oh, I can't stand grapefruit.
We haven't met. Gerald Twyford.
Hello. I'm Roger Furnival.
He's a philologist.
Oh. You've taken a job up here?
No, just doing a bit of research.
He's learning Welsh.
Welsh? Good God. Well, I suppose it's useful for philology in some way.
It's a language people speak.
Not if they can help it. Of course, it's always open to people to choose poverty. All one can do for them is to give them a choice.
Does speaking Welsh make people poor?
Well, of course it does. It aligns them with everything that's restrictive and old-fashioned and a nuisance. That's not to say they don't have a function.
Good of you.
The function being to make nice, picturesque noises that people like you can make careers out of.
Gerald, the soup will be cold.
Grapefruit. How many more times? We're starting with grapefruit.
Gareth, I've come to ask you something.
What is it?
Could you use an assistant?
An assistant?
Unpaid.
Who wants to know?
I do.
And what do you want to assist me with?
Running the bus service.
I can't hang around.
Tell me, Gareth. Now, what about it?
Look, I've always carried on by myself.
Well, there are times when a man could use a bit of help.
Have you ever worked with buses?
No.
Any garage work?
No.
Have you got a commercial vehicle license?
You know, if I had, I would have said so.
Well, then, it doesn't seem that you'll be much use, does it?
Look. I'm willing to learn, and I'm willing to work for nothing. And you need help. You know, it's only in the form of moral support.
No, I don't.
Oh, for heavens.
Look, I'm not ready to ask for help yet.
What the hell's the matter, Gareth? Do I smell or something?
Aye. Perhaps you do, mister. Perhaps you smell a little bit of Dick Sharpine.
Gareth, for the last time, I am not in the pay of Dick Sharp. And if you think I am, then all I can say is you've got a damn bad intelligence service.
And so?
And so, goodbye. Go ahead, believe any rubbish you like. I've given up.
If you're in the market square at 8:30 tomorrow morning, I could show you the timetable.
I'll be there.
I'll look for you.
Another day over.
I'll take the fair money.
I'll have to do something about that strap.
What's wrong with it, then?
It's making my shoulder sore.
A bit of padding.
I'll think of something. Same time tomorrow.
Oh, so long as you've got nothing better to do.
That helps me to learn Welsh.
You off, then?
It's a long walk down to the hotel.
Yes. I've been thinking about that. I'll see if I can get you fixed up with somewhere to stay around here, if you like.
Oh. Yes, you do that. Night.
Night. Maybe you'll get a lift.
Yes. Maybe it'll rain pound notes. Can it be? Do I detect a slight softening in Gareth's attitude towards me? A glimpse of the white flag? A hint that he might wish to parley with me? The enemy? Or will we remain on our separate sides of no man's land? He's like an oyster. And you think you found a chink, the old Welsh muscle tightens. Hello.
Hello. It's Roger Furnival, isn't it?
Oh, you remembered. I flattered. Are those your children?
That's them. Hunting for pretty stones is the order of the day. I've only one thing against this coastline. No rock pools. Just plain old shingle. Here comes the mob.
Mummy! Mummy, look at this. A lovely red one.
Well, let me see. Oh, yes, that's beautiful, Mary.
These are the bag of mine. Robin put it into his pocket and he's got time.
I'm collecting white ones.
Mary, Robin, this is Mr. Furnival.
Hello. Is he a friend of Daddy's?
No, he's a friend of mine.
May I see your stones?
Oh, look at mine first. No, mine, please. Mine.
Oh. Well, I think they're all lovely.
Now, off you go, both of you.
Thank you.
There's plenty more to find.
Okay, all right. Come on, Robin.
Is this a favourite spot of yours?
Oh, very much so. I got into the habit of coming here when I was a student. Long, lonely walks, wondering what life would hold. And now I know what it holds, I still come here.
Do you ever get an evening free?
Sometime.
Will you spend one of them with me?
Doing what?
Eating? Drinking? Talking?
Restaurants are out, I'm afraid.
No, I wasn't thinking of a restaurant. I'll cook you a meal at my place.
Oh, you have a place?
Denmark, yes. I've got a place. Gareth, who I work on the bus with, found it.
You work on a bus?
Yes. Oh, yes, I haven't told you.
What do you do on a bus? Drive it?
Well, I'll explain later, then. Look, back to my place. It's one of those holiday flatlets people pay huge sums for during the season. I got it for a song.
Sounds ideal.
Yeah. It's at Langreuth. First house on the right after the 30 miles an hour sign. If you miss it, ask for Mrs. Pylon Jones. She's the owner.
Mrs. what Jones?
Pylon Jones. Yes, her late husband was a farmer who spent his life trying to stop the electricity board from erecting a pylon in his field. Look, now, stop trying to divert me. I've got my own door at the side, so it's quite private. Well, almost.
Goodness, what a flood of information. I haven't said I'll come yet.
Well, you can, though. When your husband's in London and the children are in bed and you've no one to talk to. You could arrange for someone to sit with the kids. I finish early on Wednesday.
The buses?
Bus, not buses. Now, will it be this Wednesday or the next?
Neither. If anything, it'll be the one after that.
Mum! Come here, Mummy!
All right. It's the third Wednesday from now.
Coming! I'd better see what they want.
At about 8 o'clock.
I don't know that I'll be able to stay long.
It's getting you there that matters, Jenny, my love. A nice bit of quiet adultery in a Calvinist village. It is not, is it, the coitus, for its own sake, that's so important? Is it? It's mainly as a way of bringing you close to me, Jenny. Of building a permanent bridge between us.
Any more fares, please?
Good morning, Rhiannon.
Good morning, Mr. Furniver.
How's the hotel without me? Still standing?
I think it might just about manage.
With difficulty, I'm sure. Any more fares now? Morning, Mr. Clifton-Jones.
This bus left Clankroyce 2 minutes late, you know. It's not as if we didn't have to pay for the service.
Gareth? Huh? Mr. Clifton-Jones says the bus left 2 minutes late.
This bus left on the dot. Down to pay a visit to his watch repairer.
I have a very important meeting to prepare.
Redwin Jones, all your meetings are important. And you always have a meeting.
It's not as if we didn't have to pay for a service.
All the way to Cairo Bay night, please, Roger.
How are the Mohicans coming along?
Cherokees. I wrote almost the whole section last night, and I've news. You'll be able to read it in translation soon.
Oh. How do you think it'll sound in English?
French, not English.
What's this, then? A new cultural force? The Paris-Carvenai axis?
No, not Paris. Quebec. Now do you see?
It's as clear as mud.
Well, it's all part of the cultural offensive.
Is there a war on, then?
The English always have this difficulty. It's impossible for them to believe that they really do have enemies.
Well, not any longer, surely. In this century, we've been made to believe it.
Well, basically, it hasn't changed. The English still grew up in a version of their own history that's all light and no shade. But enough of this remedial history lesson. How's the Welsh coming along?
Anolt Cumbron. Ona hi hado gariad.
Dafydd ap Gwilym. Now there's a poet.
Why not the sofa?
If you say so.
That's more comfortable. There.
That was a lovely dinner. Thank you.
Thank you for driving all this way to see me.
You invited me. A penny for them.
Hmm?
Private, or can you share them?
Oh, no, I want to share.
Well?
I want to make love to you.
Don't be silly.
Why are you silly?
Because I'm a married woman with 2 children.
But you're married to the wrong man. Your marriage doesn't bring you happiness. Why are you staring at me?
I'm trying to fathom what's going on in your mind.
Well, there's no mystery. I'll tell you exactly what's going on in my mind. I'm lonely and not very happy. I don't think I have much self-pity. I try to see my situation quite objectively. My life's come to a bleak, windy crossroads, and I don't know which way to go. I can plan for my comfort, but comfort alone won't make me happy. I've lost my bearings.
What made you lose them?
Well, my brother died recently. He was an invalid. I used to look after him.
I'm sorry. But surely, in a way, that's rather a liberation for you, isn't it?
Well, that's a hard part to explain.
Cry.
A
The reason I kept Geoffrey with me all the time wasn't that I was the only person who could look after him. Many people better qualified than me. You see, when I said Jeff was an invalid, that was a bit of prudery on my part. What he really was a nervous wreck, a mental case.
Was he born like it?
Oh, no. It was a war. I'd rather not talk about that part.
If you don't, how can I understand?
Well, do you want to understand?
You want me to, don't you?
Well, essentially, all you need to know is that my parents didn't survive the war, and that Geoffrey and I were left alone, and he was in this dreadful state. And now I'm left without Geoffrey, which means that the fellow's occupation's gone. It also means that such love as I was able to show him wasn't enough to keep him alive beyond the age of 45. So I feel lost and I feel guilty. Then, as will hardly surprise you to hear, my sex life is in a mess.
That never surprises me about anyone.
No, for a time I lived with a girl called Margot. I wanted to marry her, but...
What?
Well, I reached a point where she could no longer bear the sight of Jeff. The messes he made. She was just out for a good time, see.
You're getting bitter.
No, yes, I'm as bitter as bloody hell.
Don't, Roger. It's such a waste. You know what I think? I think all this will melt away as soon as you can find a woman to love. I mean, love properly.
Oh, maybe. Yes, I guess so. But till then, I'm stuck with the Geoffrey syndrome, as the books would say.
I'm sorry, I don't follow you.
No. Well, let's leave it. You know, when you were talking at the dinner about your marriage, I was jealous.
It wasn't a particularly rosy picture.
But you sleep with him, with Gerald, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then. Well, so that's his sex life taken care of. He doesn't have to waste his time and energy running after women to get his needs satisfied.
I see.
What do you see?
Why, you asked me here.
Oh, God.
That's what you're doing, isn't it? Wasting your time and energy running after women to get your needs satisfied. Well, I'm not women, I'm me.
Don't you know that situations can develop?
You're going so fast.
Well, you have to at my age. Now, look, Jenny, we're both people who haven't found happiness in life yet. We might find it together.
Who says so?
I do.
Well, you don't aim to spoil your case by being too modest about it. That I do see.
Well, it's too late for anything but straight truth-telling.
Too late? What is all this? Is the world coming to an end?
For someone in his 40s, yes. See, the only way to redeem time is by seizing every chance there is.
What should I do?
Give me a kiss.
Certainly not.
Again?
No. One thing leads to another.
Well, don't you want it to?
I don't think I do.
You don't think you do? When will you know?
I can't. I'm sorry, I just can't. I've often thought about it. I mean, not being confident about my marriage and not feeling that, let's face it, I'm bringing much, any happiness to Gerald either. I've been awake many a time and faced this moment. Exactly this one. I mean that some man would suggest becoming my lover. Because that's the stage we've reached, isn't it?
And
I've always shied away from it.
Why?
I don't know.
Love of Gerald?
I don't know.
Fear of the consequences?
Nothing clear-cut. Just a feeling, a dread.
Dread of what?
Crossing a bridge, really. I know how silly this would sound to some people. They'd think of sex as just a physical spasm, like sneezing, except that two people do it together. But I can't get my mind to work like that. I'm frightened. It's like, well, messing about with something very powerful that could destroy you. Don't you see?
Yes, I see perfectly well. Oh, Jenny. I find you marvelously attractive. I ache for you. And I think we could be lucky together. Perhaps even for the rest of our lives.
What's that? A proposal?
I never propose to women I haven't slept with.
You won't be proposing to me, then? I really must go. It was nice of you to feed me.
It wasn't nice. I did it for my own sordid motives.
I don't think any of it's sordid.
Yeah, but you can't go along with it.
No.
I never knew marriage was so strong.
Oh, it is, Roger. It's primitive. Primitive things are the strongest always. Goodbye.
Mr.
Jones!
Wake up, please!
Mrs. Jones? What is it? What time is it?
Someone traveling around that time. I know there's some gravel
in the office. Oh, for heaven's sake, Mrs. Pyland Jones. Well, whoever it was has pushed off.
I heard them, I tell you.
Well, maybe, but the fact remains...
Scratching around like might be worse.
Perhaps. Perhaps it was mine.
What's that?
Push what? What is it? It's so sticky.
Blood!
Oh, blood. No, it's paint. Someone's emptied a can of paint all over the front step. Where is everyone?
Something's up.
Not a soul. 8:30 is usually packed.
I can sense it. Something's up.
Oh, there, by the gate.
I see.
At last, a passenger. Good morning, Mr. Jenkins.
Oh, goodness, you've come. I missed the bus.
What do you mean, Mr. Jenkins? This is the bus.
I mean, I missed the other one.
What other one?
Well, the one they all got on.
Come on, Gareth. Let's get a move on.
Aye. So, there it is.
Mr. Jenkins was right.
And it's parked in my space, too.
Oh, you here, Garrett Jones?
Of course I'm here. Why shouldn't I be?
The man said...
What man?
The driver. Bus driver.
You're talking about that bus? The liver-coloured one?
Yes. The emergency service.
The what?
Perhaps I didn't understand him right. He said it was an emergency service, and I...
You what, Cledwin Jones? Emergency service.
Well, his actual words were to the effect that the existing service is being withdrawn, and the transport board are just ensuring that the passengers aren't left with no bus to travel on. It was free because it was an emergency service.
Free?
Nothing to pay.
Free. Free.
Now, look here, Gareth Jones. I knew that general would be taken over at some time or other, so I just assumed...
Oh, you did you, Cledwin Jones?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So it's going to be like that now, is it? If we get there first, we get the passengers. If he gets there, he does. Monks, isn't it?
Well, we just have to make sure we're first.
Oh, yes, but that one's free, though. Don't forget. I'm off for a cup of tea.
Even now, when we are brothers in adversity, Gareth excludes me. The fist stays clenched. The oyster refuses to be prized open. Gareth, admit it. You need me. We need each other, for God's sake. Love. Worse than being in love. It's the recognition of something genuine, something real and life-giving that might have been mine and bloody isn't. Oh, blast the girl and blast her smooth windbag of a husband who she's too timid and high-bound to leave. Oh, Jenny! Jenny! Perhaps I can float your image away on a tide of fermented liquor. Why isn't there a brothel in Carabinai? That's what this town needs. Rhiannon, I've been thinking. I suppose there's no chance of you reconsidering?
It's horrible having to disappoint people, Mr. Furnival.
I might have no plans more ambitious than just asking you out for the evening.
But you do, though, don't you?
Do what?
Have plans more ambitious than an evening out?
Not plans, Rhiannon. Just dreams.
Ah, that's right, better. Nip them off before they grow into plans.
You're always so gentle, Rhiannon, in your perfect confidence.
That's nice.
Then I better go and drown my sorrows.
Oh, be careful in the bar, Mr. Furnival.
I think I'm old enough, Rhiannon.
No, I just saw Dick Sharp go in there, if you see what I mean.
And have something for yourself, Gwyn.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. I don't mind if I do.
Put it on the slate for me, will you? Oh, hang on. Would you like a drink, Mr. Furnival?
Oh, not for me, thanks, no. So, you know my name?
Oh, I know quite a bit about you. I know that you're a man with a mission.
I don't regard anything that I do as a mission.
No, no, I'm sure you've never considered yourself in such grandiose terms, Mr. Furnival. I'm sure it's all done from the purest of motives. Why Gareth Jones?
Why not? It's keeping something alive.
The trouble with North Wales is that too many things are kept alive when they're dead on their feet.
Like what?
Small farms, small businesses, small ideas. Of course, you've only just arrived in the country. You can't be expected to understand.
Hold on, hold on. Maybe that I'm making an unjustifiable claim to understanding, but you're making an unjustifiable claim to power. That's worse.
What power am I claiming? Just up-to-date ideas and being a good businessman. That's all.
You know very well you're claiming power. You're the little Caesar around here, and everyone has to give way.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Are you sure you don't want a drink, Mr. Thunderbell?
No, thanks. You're behind the paint throwing. You're behind the emergency bus nonsense. Mm-hmm. All for the same reason. You don't believe Gareth Jones has a right to live.
No, frankly, I don't believe he has.
Well, I do. It's as simple as that.
Oh, no, no, it isn't, my friend. Oh, no, not at all. There are laws.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk about laws.
You'll be very careful what you say now, Mr. Furnival. When I say there are laws, I don't mean the ones you get in statute books.
Oh, I get you. Economic laws. The only kind people like...
Have you ever seen a hedgehog that's got in the way of a car?
Oh, come off it. If you think that just...
The hedgehog broke the law when he got in front of the car. Now, not the sort of law you recognize, but the sort I recognize. He curled up, didn't he, when he saw the car coming? Now, if the car had been a horse, the hoofs might have kicked him clear. But it wasn't a horse. Cars have been invented, isn't it?
All right, all right. There's no need to spell it out. You're the car, and Gareth's the hedgehog. And he ought to wake up to the fact that you've been invented.
He doesn't have to wake up. But nothing can stop him getting hurt if he doesn't.
Yeah. And for the sake of this law, you're trying to take his livelihood away.
I'm not just trying, Englishman. I'm succeeding.
By fair means or foul.
There aren't any fair means. It isn't fair when a car runs over a hedgehog.
What the... Thank you, Dick Sharp.
Where will it all end?
Oh, it's all right, Mrs. Pylon-Jones. Calmly now, calmly.
How do you know all these yokels?
I don't know them. You asked Dick Sharp about them.
It's you. It's you they're coming after.
Yes, but who puts them up to it?
Oh, what's going to happen next?
I don't know. I don't know. And, of course, as far as Mrs. Pylon-Jones is concerned, all the troubles stem from me. The Englishman, the foreigner. Mm-hmm. I got to leave her house because somebody who shall remain nameless, called Dick Sharp, bribed a lot of hooligans to make my position intolerable.
You could get me into trouble, you know.
Dick Sharp doesn't own this pub, Mario.
He can make a lot of difference to what happens here, though.
How, Guido, how? Were you with the sample the other night, man?
Well, then.
Well, what? Well, we all just give in to him, do we? Let him do anything to us. Never mention his name in a public place.
Not where we might get our friends into trouble.
Mm. Well, at this rate, we might just as well give up.
I didn't say that. It seems to me you can do a lot by hanging on.
Oh, yes. A lot of what?
A lot of good. And a lot of damage to Dick Sharp. Ebor was talking to a chap the other night. That's right, Ebor, isn't it? You tell him.
Yes. This chap's in the transport business, see? Now, he was saying that if Dick Sharp doesn't get hold of Garrett's bus soon, he'll be at the end of his money and have to sell all the buses back.
Can we rely on this?
Well, he keeps his ear pretty close to the ground, this fellow.
Oh, I hope he's right.
Sorry to hear about your trouble. You know, Mrs. Pylon-Jones and all. Even when you're me, we've been thinking. Have you got an hour or so to spare?
No, I'm free until the 2:15 hour.
Come with us, then. We've got something to show you.
Well, where are we going?
To chapel.
What?
You know, the old chapel just out of Frank Lewis on the road running north.
Come on. You'll see.
So, here I am, on the Druid Haunted Mountain, in a disused chapel, which in the summer serves as a love nest for a rich sugar daddy and his artist girlfriend. A now is my temporary home. With a glowing stove, it's my best friend. A little pot-bellied, chuckling god. Writing this rambling letter as a sort of bridge to you, Jenny. To get over my loneliness. Now I feel able to talk to you about Geoffrey. It was early on a Friday morning, 1944. Geoffrey was just 21 and home on leave. We shared the same bedroom. A flying bomb. We were trapped for 19 hours. Mum and Dad were killed outright. I needed a fairly long spell in hospital, and Geoffrey was... Well, Geoffrey was Geoffrey. A new Geoffrey. A screaming, howling Geoffrey. It was a pure accident that spared me and maimed Geoffrey. And I knew I had to be forgiven for the way the beams and bricks had gone. So, you see, my love for him was a sign that I was grateful for survival. Paying what I owed Geoffrey was the only thing I understood. When I came to Carvenai after burying Geoffrey, my conscious program was to allow my selfishness full rein, to look after number one and to damn well do it with conviction. I thought I was too self-bound to change. But I have changed. The mountains have changed me. Working on the bus has changed me. The steepness of the road up and down from Llancruis has changed me. People I've come in contact with, Gareth, Madog, Ivor, Gito, and Rhiannon, whom I lusted for, and you, whom I both lust for and love, all these have made me different. I'm no cleverer than when I got off that train in October, but I'm much wiser, and a bit braver, and a lot freer.
So, for all these things, take my blessing. Take it to yourself and let it radiate out from you to the life around you. Because there are no nicely defined limits that show where it ends and you begin. Now I'm ready to creep into my bed until it's time to go to my work. My funny, sad, brave, hopeless non-work that is still the most important thing I could be doing, except loving you. Roger.
Another bad day, eh?
Don't be quite so down, Gareth.
The way things are going, I'm in a mood to look on the black side.
Remember what Ivor's friend said about Dick Sharp?
Aye, well, that's all very well. It's not just a question of how long he can hang on, but how long we can. Now, look at it today. No more than 20 passengers, all told. And most of them only because they missed the emergency service.
It's pretty bad, I agree. Trouble is, we never know how to beat the other bus. If we think we're in front, it's 10 to 1 he's waiting somewhere along the route.
Yeah, another thing. How can we go on charging a couple of bob for the journey when they can get it free on the other one?
Yes, Gareth, but think of this. If this route came under some soulless monopoly, nobody's ever going to ride for as little as 2 shillings again.
Yeah, that says maybe. It's still a question of money, isn't it? The license is due in January the 1st, and the money just isn't in the kitty.
I tell you what, Gareth, I'll pay the license.
No. This has cost you enough already, as it is.
The university may not be over-generous about sabbaticals, but my next salary installment's about due. I can certainly pay the license.
No.
I insist.
No, it's not right.
And I won't have any arguments. It's my money. If I want to stay here and work on the bus for another few weeks, that's my privilege.
No, I don't see why you should.
Well, look at it this way. You owe it to the bus. She's run well, always done what you've asked of her. Now, wouldn't it be a bloody shame to take her off the road just for the lack of a license? Money's ready and waiting.
I'll take it strictly as a loan.
Agreed. Well, I better be off home.
Aye. To your chapel, eh?
He's in my sermons. We'll have a preaching as soon as we get rid of Dick Sharp.
Well, there's something I've been meaning to ask you. Christmas. Hmm? What will you be doing?
Sitting in the chapel with a bottle of something?
Well, it's no good being on your own at Christmas. Come and spend it with Mum and me.
Right. I'd love to.
Well, just potluck, mind, but we will get our hands on something. I'll call for you at the chapel and we'll walk over. My father worked this small holding.
Uh-huh.
9 acres. It was a life. I helped him as soon as I was big enough to lift a bundle of hay.
But you gave it up?
Well, when he died, we were so... I was always more interested in the motors.
Yeah, it's strange, Gareth. I work with you, up and down in the bus all day, but really I know very little about you. Where you live, for instance. I'm sure you told me. I had no idea you had a mother alive.
No, well, Mom, she doesn't get about much. Active around the house, but not given to roaming. Oh, that's the cottage at the foot of the big slate tip. Clear the way for the head cook of the royal household.
Bravo! See where he comes bearing riches.
I can smell it, Gareth. I know I'm right.
Oh, not just an ordinary hair, ma'am. This is the hair of the mountain. I snared it myself.
I knew I was right.
I snared 3, as a matter of fact, but the first 2 weren't good enough for a feast like this. The first was just a leveret, and the second was an old female. Very bony. This one, And I killed it cleanly. Snapped his neck like a matchstick, so he didn't lose a lot of blood.
It's lucky Gareth was able to turn his hand to cooking so well. He never cooked a meal until I started losing my sight.
Ah, well, it wasn't sudden. You had plenty of a chance to coach me while it was coming on, eh?
Now, Gareth.
Aye, ma'am.
Are you ready for me to say grace?
Aye, yes, sir.
This is a special Christmas, Lord, as thou knowest. Our lives have got much more difficult this year, and they may get more difficult still, but thou hast sent into our lives a new friend who has come from we don't know where and decided to give us his help. We don't know why. But it gives us joy, O Lord, that he is here to share our feast this day.
Amen.
And to remember with us the birth in Bethlehem. Now,
Amen.
Let us eat.
Gareth, Mrs. Jones, drink a toast with me to our victory.
Hey, ma'am, hasn't got to drink here, ma'am.
Now, Gareth. You know I don't touch strong drink.
This is Roger's special whiskey, bought for us. Now, you'll drink with us this once to the best thing that we have in the world, our fighting spirit.
Christmas? Will you talk of fighting?
We talk of surviving, Mrs. German. Let's drink. Here you are. Our fighting spirit.
And victory. Mamba.
Oh, Gareth, you're your father's own son.
I hope so, ma'am.
He'd have said just the same as you. He'd have said that our fighting spirit is the best thing we have.
Aye. Do you remember when Prince kicked me?
I do. I was frightened for you.
Right. I never told you what happened afterwards. All these years, I never told you. But I'll tell you now.
Afterwards?
Well, you don't know this, Roger. Prince, he was our horse. Used to do the heavy work before we had a tractor. A good old helper he was. Knew every inch of the place. But once, when I was a little nipper, 6 or 7 years old, strange thing happened. Prince kicked me. Well, I must have been fooling about, I expect, but he kicked me hard. Dislocated my arm. But when I came out of hospital, I kept very clear, Prince. Daddy, he must have noticed this, because one morning he called me over to the stable. Gareth, he says. Yes, then. Would you like a shilling? He says. A shilling was a lot of money in those days.
It was, Gareth.
Where's yours, he said. All you have to do is to pick it up. And with that, he tossed it down, right among Prince's hooves.
I can tell you, Prince's feet look very big and very hard. And my arm is still hurting from the kick he'd given me before. I wanted that shilling. There was something I wanted even more than the shilling. You understand me?
Yes, Gareth, I do.
So I went down among the horse's feet and picked up the shilling. When I came up with the shilling, I shouted, "I did it, Dad! I did it!"
Yes, you did it all right, Gareth.
And I never knew.
Did he tell you not to say anything?
No. But I noticed that he said nothing about it when he came into dinner. And as little as I was, I understood somehow that if he said nothing, then it was best for me to say nothing to him. Let's have some light on. It's getting a bit dark now.
And Gareth, don't forget the cake. There's cake for tea. Ice cake.
You off, Roger? Yeah. I've got to meet Gareth for the 10 o'clock up. No free evenings for me, Bach.
Oh, I thought you might be interested. I've just arranged to hire the town hall for a big jamboree. A reading by Welsh, Breton, Scottish and Irish poets. March the 1st.
St. David's Day.
Naturally. I hope you'll still be here then.
Yes, I hope so too, Murdoch. Night.
Mostar.
Good night!
Have a lot there, Mario. Mostar, you on? Mostar, you off?
Mostar, Roger.
Oh, bloody freezing.
Just your lip, eh?
Yes, that's all. It winded me a bit.
If it was just a drunk, he wasn't too drunk to take himself off before he could get a good look into his face.
Perhaps he was frightened.
Aye. Perhaps he was. Perhaps he was more frightened of the people who had sent him.
Well, you think it was a prearranged job?
There's no knowing what I think.
Oh, well, it's comforting this. It could have been worse.
Aye, yes, and it might get worse.
Now, Gareth, let's not forget the toast we drank.
What?
Our fighting spirit. Remember?
Aye. And victory.
And here you are.
And here I am. I'm on the run from my marriage. I'm never going back.
Good for you.
Oh, yes, you can say that. But you don't have to face the problems.
Wrong. What you mean is I'm not allowed to face them. You know, I'd willingly share the whole thing with you.
Do you mean that?
I love you. You have my letter, didn't you?
That's why I'm here, I suppose.
Well, then.
I thought your letter might have been just a mood.
There are no moods where my feelings for you are concerned.
I don't know anything about you, except what you've told me. But I'm in a desperate corner and I'm going to throw myself onto you.
Throw away?
I'm staying here, with you.
Welcome.
Just for a week. Gerald won't know where I am. A week should be long enough for us to tell whether we can get on all right together. It's as long as I can give it, anyway.
A week will do to start with.
Tired, Roger. I can hardly stand up anymore.
Well, don't stand up, then. If you need rest, then rest.
Are you disappointed? Oh, Roger, your new place. Your little hideout on the cold mountain. And now you've breached it. You've made room in it for a woman who's going to be a damn nuisance to you.
No,
yes, yes. A woman with a whole history of lived life behind her that she can't help dragging along with her.
My life history. I'm a professional scholar, after all.
I am so tired.
Bed.
Are you warm in bed?
Like a horse. Many's the stranded wayfarer I've saved from freezing to death. Go on. I'll follow you. First the stove and then bed. Stove it up. Ah, wonderful things. It's like eggs. Each one an embryo of delicious, comforting heat. And the stove. My little triumphant stove is the incubator in which the eggs are hatched. morphed into phoenix like.
Roger.
Ready? See how I do everything you tell me? Snow. Snowflakes falling. A secret dance on the hills. The appeased ghost of Geoffrey moving away leaves no footprints on the white skin of the mountain. Goodbye, Jeff. You can manage now, can't you? You can manage now.
Oh, haven't seen you on the bus for some days, Mr. Cledwyn Jones?
No, maybe not. I suppose you still charge 2 shillings up to Clonkruith?
Oh, no, you couldn't get a better bargain in the whole of North Wales, Mr. Cledwyn Jones.
Where's Gareth? He's late, isn't he?
Oh, he'll be along. Oh, hello, Gito. Coming for a ride?
I'm taking the bus up. I've got a commercial license, see? And Gareth's giving me the keys.
Fine. Where's Gareth?
In the cottage hospital.
What?
I promise him I'd take the bus up and garage it.
But what happened?
I'll tell him when we get up to the top.
What's up? Hey, where's Gareth Jones?
Never you mind. He's off duty. Broken wrist.
And bruises. He got into a fight, seemingly. We found him, me and Ivor, just outside the gents on the back of the pub.
Who was it?
Oh, I don't know that. But I do know who was behind it. And so do you.
Oh, the bastard.
Clever move, see. Put the driver out of action, and the bus is out of action.
How long will Gareth be off?
Broken wrist? Oh, it'll be 3-4 weeks before he'll be able to touch a steering wheel again.
And until then, there'll be no bus service. Apart from that liver-coloured so-and-so.
And that's what it looks like.
So Dick Sharp's won.
Unless we can think of something.
Yes, but what?
We'll have a ponder. Gareth will be home tomorrow. They won't keep him in. Let's have a meeting at his place. A proper council of war.
Why don't you and the young lady make yourselves comfortable? Pull the chair to the fire, my dear.
Thank you, Mrs. Jones.
This old snow eats into the bones.
How's the hospital, Gareth?
Well, they only kept me long enough to slap this plaster on my arm, but anyway, listen. Ivor and Gito have just been telling me something.
Mm. We were in the Fisherman's Arms lunchtime. Oh, it's not a pub we often use, but we happen to be down that way. Dick Sharp's driver was in there. Ferry-faced little bugger.
I'm here, Ivor.
Oh, labs of the lane, Mrs. Jones. Anyway, this driver was throwing his weight about like he owned the place. Well, not that he was talking to us, mind. We just happened to overhear. Now, he said that the pirate bus would definitely be on the run every day now. With Gareth not being able to drive for a month, that would be the end of us once and for all.
Mm. The end of me, you mean?
Of us, Gareth. We're all in this together, boy.
Clear it off the books, he kept saying. Clear it off the books.
That sounds like Dick Sharp talking.
It is Dick Sharp bloody talking. Sorry, Mrs. Jones?
Yeah. Anyway, we've made some plans.
Well, let's hear them.
See, the whole mood of the thing, the situation, you might say, it's changed in the last few days.
Dick Sharp's crossed the line now.
He has moved definitely out of legality.
As long as he was only snapping up Gareth's trade, he was within his rights as far as the law went.
But now?
If we can nab Dick Sharp before he moves back to the safe side of the legal line, we've got him.
On toast.
Now, here's what we're going to do. Number one, we're going to travel on that bus.
Travel on it?
As passengers.
The driver will never stop. As soon as he sees who it is, he'll be off like a rocket.
That's where we need a little help. Miss, I didn't catch your name.
Jenny. Jenny Greyfield.
Miss Greyfield, it's a piece of luck that Roger brought you here today. Do you mind turning out at 8 in the morning?
Not at all. It's important.
Oh, it's important, all right. We'll wait here, beside the barn.
Hiding place and lookout post combined.
What about me? Don't I stand out in full view?
Not yet. When we hear him coming.
He shouldn't be long. We know he's gone up to Flancroix. He's just got to turn round and come on down.
It's crisp morning.
Aye. No more snow, though, fortunately.
Cold, Jenny.
Too excited.
There's the bus.
Aye. No mistaking that liver-coloured devil.
Right now, Jenny. Off you go. Yeah,
don't forget to put your hand out. It's flowing.
Good girl.
Right. Let's go.
Move along there. Don't all huddle in the doorway. Here, what's you doing?
Getting a good look at you. I've been waiting to get to know you.
Yeah. Don't get off, you lot.
Get off? You come for a ride.
Leave me alone.
Who's touching you?
Drive on, man. You're running a bus service, then run one.
Some of us have work to do.
Well, good for you, Fredwin Jones. Glad to see that you moan on this bus, too.
Hurry up, driver. Come on, we can't let the
bus. You'd best take a seat, Garrett.
All right.
Elated. Keep on. What about Gito? Where is he?
We'll see him any minute now. Keep on watching the side road ahead, Snake.
Yeah, that's your lorry.
With Gito at the wheel.
And I thought the snow powder only cleared the main road.
Oh, say more than snow to some Gito. Watch now.
He's driving out into the road.
Hold on.
Get out the bloody way.
Don't cry!
Accept our story because we're experienced heavy vehicle drivers. Because we've driven in this neighborhood for 20 years and never had an accident. And Dick Sharp's driver was just a kid from nowhere and was driving a bus without a proper license or any sort of certificate of insurance.
You know what license he had? Huh? One entitling him to drive a motorcycle.
What did Dick Sharp do?
Oh, Dick Sharp did nothing. He didn't defend the driver at all. No. Just pushed him down the pan and pulled the chain on him. I hired the bus and driver through what I thought was a reputable firm, and I'm deeply shocked to find that this sort of thing can go on. That's what he said. Bloody shark.
What will happen to the driver?
Well, he'll be given 24 hours to produce the correct documents, and if he can't, he'll be charged.
Then what? Fine? Prison?
Could be.
Look, now, let's get something straight. Are we in the clear or not?
We're in the clear, Gareth.
Then what's the matter? Why have you got such long faces, you two? Just because that ferret-faced fly-by-night's going to be prosecuted?
Yes.
Well, your kind feelings may do you credit. But as for me, I'd break his neck between my fingers.
Well, if you did, that'd be a lot cleaner than what has happened to
Look,
him.
Look, I don't care what's happened to him. If you're sorry for him, start a silver collection. Look, damn it all, I've just won the first battle that... for years, and I want to be told that I won it.
All right, Gareth, you won, and you deserve it. I don't think we're not on your side. The battle's won, and it's very nice having a victory drink in the Palace Hotel. Thanks very much, Roger. Mm. We'll most likely go and have some more in the pub afterwards. It's just that... Well, Gitu and I, we've just seen a snake swallowing a rabbit close up, and it's not a pretty sight.
It must have been very nasty.
That's right. It was.
But Dick Sharp is finished.
With the buses? Yes, well, he can't carry on after this.
Well, then, well, let's drink to that.
Come on, Gito, Ivor. Come on, now, boss.
Oh, no, well, that's better.
Oh, I can't stay down for long.
Oh, Gito, not long. No, me.
What is it, Jenny? Tell me.
I telephoned Mother.
And?
Gerald hasn't lost any time.
Well, what's he done?
He went over there yesterday.
Yes?
He told my mother, in front of Mary and Robin, that I'd run away and he didn't know where I was. And of course he got what he wanted. Mary and Robin started crying and then they got more and more upset until they were hysterical. My mother says he was upset. As far as I can tell, he was in an ice-cold fury. Then, as a parting shot, he stood the kids up in front of him on the hearthrug and told them that if their mother didn't come back, they'd have a housekeeper and a nanny to look after them till he could find them a new mother. And they both howled like dervishes, and he left them howling.
God almighty. Well, couldn't he at least say and comfort them?
As I put down the telephone, I knew I'd never be able to rest a second, to think of anything else for a second, till I'd comforted them and made everything all right for them.
The mother will come.
No, she's knocked off her balance by this. It's been too sudden, and she's too old. She can't cope with anything that comes without warning. Oh, Mike. Poor Mike.
Look, if you feel you must be with them, go and fetch them.
Fetch them? To this place?
Well, they can manage for the time being.
No, they could not manage. I was a silly, irresponsible fool ever to dump them and come here.
No, you weren't. You were getting away from us.
I was getting away from my duty. No, never mind duties now. From my need to make a home for my children. It's all very well for someone without kids to run off to a hovel like this, but how could I bring Mary and Robin here? Where would they sleep? What would I do with them up here all day? So isolated, so cut off. You just haven't thought.
Yes, I have, I tell you. Will you let me speak?
It's not that I blame you, Roger.
All right, then. So what do we do?
I don't know. There's not really much we can do, except tomorrow morning I'll drive over to Nantwich, collect the children, and take them home.
Back to Gerald.
Where else?
But you can't. No, that's obviously not true. It seems that you can.
The children are upset, Roger. They're suffering without their father and their mother. The first thing to do is to get them where they're close to me and reassured by my presence. You see? Oh, Roger...
I see! Of course, I see.
I'm sorry to go away from you because it was all flowering so nicely.
Well, I thought so. Very, very nicely.
I just can't stand being away from them. That's all. And I haven't any money to take them anywhere else. So
it's back to the family home.
However much I hate it.
So we're beaten, are we? When we had a vision opening out in front of us, a chance of happiness.
Roger, you'll find some other girl.
Oh, come off it.
You'll be happy if you want to be happy.
Balls, Jenny. Balls. You know it.
Hello, Mr. Furnival.
Hello, Rhiannon.
Oh, why so glum? Are you feeling down?
Down, Rhiannon? About 6 feet down.
Oh, come now. Are things ever that bad, is it?
May I buy you a drink, Rhiannon?
Well, now, wouldn't that be nice? But I'm going on duty, you see. Sorry.
Of course. Of course. Oh, Rhiannon, city of flesh. Perhaps in the end all my emotions will settle back on her. I'll spend the rest of my life lurking behind walls to get a glimpse. Shinning up drain pipes to catch her in the bath.
And you love her?
Yes. I love her. And that expressed twice, but he's going to get her back.
I've always found Jenny Greyfield, you call her now. I've only known her as Jenny Twyford, of course. I've always found her very intelligent and sympathetic.
She is. Both.
And, you love her.
I keep saying. What is all this?
Just making sure, Roger. Oh, don't despair. I think your troubles are over.
What? How are they?
Well, I think I've the answer to your problem. You know I'm the organizer of this gathering of Celtic poets who will read their work to an enraptured audience. Well, it's going to be a big affair, you know, bigger than you realize. Poets, critics, scholars, journalists, even the televisions.
Very interesting, Maddie, but my mind happens to be running on Jen.
So does mine. And this is just where she comes in.
Comes in?
I need an assistant. Somebody efficient, capable, and who knows what she's talking about. Now, I know what you're going to say, but the language doesn't matter, so long as she understands the spirit of the thing.
But how does this help her out of the hole she's in?
I'm not someone to do things by halves, Roger. There will be a fat salary attached to the job.
Oh. Oh, well, now you're talking.
Of course I am. There's a thundering big grant from UNESCO to get the whole thing mounted, plus very useful contributions from the Welsh Arts Council and the equivalent thing in Dublin.
Oh.
And I dare say there'll be something from the others as well.
And how much of this will affect Jenny?
Well, as soon as Jenny accepts the post of, well, what should we say? Coordinator? But as soon as she accepts that, she can move here, into this hotel, and have a suite of rooms. There'll be plenty of room for her kids, and the school is just around the corner.
It might just work.
Of course it'll work. Poetry saves lives. It's a great humanizing force. It saved more people than diseases have killed. Now, come on, drink up, and off you go to tell the lady.
In the lift.
All right, but don't annoy the other residents.
No, we won't. Come on, Robin.
Well, they seem to be enjoying themselves.
They're so excited. I can't get them to bed.
And how is my coordinator of the Colloquium of Celtic Poets?
Trying to get coordinated.
Mm. Well, it's not a bad suite of rooms, is it?
A trifle faceless, but comfortable. And ample for the three of us, that's the main thing.
Kiss.
Yes? Hello, Rhiannon. I see. Yes. Thank you.
Well?
Gerald's downstairs.
Ah, right. I'll go and see him.
It's me he wants.
Oh, well, you have to put up with me. Won't be long.
Roger.
What?
Be careful.
Don't worry.
Have the goodness to mind your own business, Furnival.
It is my business. Jenny's going to marry me as soon as she gets free of you.
I think I'm entitled to hear that from Jenny herself, don't you?
Well, then telephone her. Write to her through a solicitor. But don't come muscling in here hoping to throw the children into hysterics.
Why should I make everything nice and smooth for you? You're still my wife, so you can damn well take the consequences.
Well, face it, Twyford. Your marriage was a failure. With me, she has a chance of happiness.
I find your hypocrisy very distasteful. Why not simply admit that you met Jenny, decided you'd like to marry her, and don't care a damn about anything else?
All right. I met Jenny, decided I'd like to marry her, and I don't give a damn about anything else. Now, will that do?
I'm going to talk to my wife. You should at least have the decency to leave us alone.
Go ahead.
Oh, so there you are.
I warn you, Gerald, I haven't anything to say to you. And I don't want to talk to you alone ever again.
It was Mary and Robin I wanted to talk about.
Well, talk about them.
Here. Talk about them here.
There's nothing to hide anymore. For years, I've had to hide everything. All my real thoughts and feelings. Now, I'm never going to hide anything again. You didn't know it, Gerald, but what you were forcing on me was concealment. Now, I've finished with it. Finished with lying, finished with evasion.
What were you lying about to me?
Every breath I drew was a lie. It was all part of the big lie that I was a living woman, when actually I was a corpse. Now, whatever happens, I'm going to be alive for the rest of my time on this earth.
Very well. As you're so obviously under this man's spell, I find it impossible to communicate with you. You'll be hearing from my solicitors.
Well done, Jenny.
Oh, my knees. They're like jelly. Roger, buy me a drink. And Rhiannon, too. She's had to listen to all that.
Thank you. A drink would be nice.
Oh, even on duty?
Today, even on duty.
Oh, Rhiannon, I love you. But I'm glad I'm going to marry Jenny.
Oh, hush, now. Definitely nobody loves me till I'm off duty. But about Jenny, I'm sure you're right for each other.
Abison David's day, my love.
It'll be lovely when it's all over.
No problem.
All the poets have agreed that Madog's reading should form the grand finale, but they're still arguing among themselves about who should be first. There's one prophet like looking Scotsman who keeps shouting that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That doesn't necessarily help matters. And while all that's going on, I'm constantly having to stop the television crew calling the French frogs, the Irish mix, and the Scots those nuts in kilts. Now I'm off to check that all the folk dancers are where they should be. How are you?
I've been watching the auction, Dick Sharp's buses.
Oh, what happened?
Well, they went like hotcakes. Most of them back to their original owners. People couldn't get to all got their bus back.
Oh, that's marvellous. Yeah. So Gareth won't be on his own anymore.
Oh, it's a marvellous moment. I mean, the whale's jaws have opened and all the Jonas have walked out.
All these excitements in one day. Kevin, I've never seen the like. Oh, Roger, look, I must fly.
You know, look, you're quite sure about the kids.
What about them?
Well, tomorrow morning they'll see us in bed
together. Just have to get used to that, won't they? Every morning.
I think the whole town's been invited to Madog Shindig tonight. Me and Ivor and Gita will be there celebrating. Though I must remember not to drink too much. There's still a 10 o'clock run to do after. What about you?
After the reception, collect my things, lock up the chapel. I'm spending the night in the hotel.
And tomorrow?
London.
You've got somewhere there?
My flat. I kept it on. It'll do as a temporary place for us all.
So,
it's almost goodbye, Gaffer.
Well, that's all over now.
Oh, you'll always be my gaffer, Gareth.
You know, it wasn't until I watched that auction this morning that I knew how alone I'd been feeling this past year. Yourself for the old lady and for you.
Drink up, Gareth. We go and watch the folk dancing.
Hey!
want it. A Celtic free trade area.
Well, this is something I've been seeing for years.
It's a number thing, no? Sealed off, no? Yeah. Something rest of the
Father!
Your reading was magnificent. Gwilym Cherokee deserves a world audience.
Oh, my poem. Oh, it's just a breath on a pane of glass. The condensation from my life and the lives of these men here. Ivor! Gareth! Kitso! There's plenty more where that came from, so drink up.
Did you know Dick Sharp was here?
Oh, why should it matter? What could matter tonight? The men of Gwynedd are not bearers of grudges. Even Dick Sharp is welcome here tonight. The tasseled pipe of peace goes from hand to hand. And the pale face marvels.
Pity it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Everybody around here would be in a much better position tonight if it had. Then their celebrations would have had some meaning.
Look, economic factors aren't the only things people can celebrate.
Oh, here we go again.
Oh, you're a clever man, Mr. Sharp. Don't think I underestimate you. There's one thing you must never forget. We all die. And death alters everything.
Oh, dear one, well, there's apocalyptic. We obviously don't keep company with poets for nothing.
See, there's an essential difference between people like you and poets and, yes, even busmen. They don't manipulate. They do the job for themselves. They sweat. They get their hands dirty.
And so
for them, the struggle is a personal one. Whereas you, you're like a field marshal for whom the individual battle doesn't matter. All you're concerned with is the final outcome of the war.
But where does death come into all this?
Well, if there was no death, the field marshal view might be a possible one. But since death does exist, it's the other type who have the wisdom. See, they live from day to day. I mean, that's why they're rejoicing now. Not because they're fools who think all their troubles are over, but because they know at the end, death will cut them down. So, when they've won some ground, they rejoice and enjoy themselves and take a drink when it's offered to them.
I tell you, tonight is the beginning. Back to the whales of the Barts. The courts of the princes. The wheel turns. It comes round again. Madog is the new David Ap Gwilym.
Goodbye, stove. My little pot-bellied friend. Always look as though you should be chucked under the chin. There you are. Goodbye, old chapel. You served me well. You kept me and nursed me through my final long-delayed coming of age. My liberation, beginning of my life with Jenny. And here I parted in mutual love and kindness from the pacified ghost of Geoffrey.
Time to go.
Oh.
Gareth's holding the bus.
Yes. Can you manage the other case? You lead on.
We'll come back here in the end, to North Wales.
Oh, before the end, Jenny, I promise you.
Even if Gerald's still here.
Oh, no, he won't be. North Wales won't hold him.
No, but it'll hold us, won't it? When we want to settle down.
Mm. It'll be perfect. Let's go.
In A Winter in the Hills by John Wayne, dramatized by Chris Stevenson, the part of Roger was played by David Collings, Gareth by Ewan Meredith, and Jenny by Anne Carroll. Mam, Ellen Roger Jones, Madog, Ian Saner, Ivor, Hayden Wood, Gito, Geoffrey Morgan, Gerald Twyford, John Rye, Dick Sharp, Sean Probert, Trianon, Margaret Esley, Mrs. Pylon Jones, Janet Davies, Mr. Kedwin Jones, John Livesey, Geoffrey Christopher Scott, with Christine Absalom, Stephen Garlick, and Alexander John. The play was directed by Jane Morgan.